Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Oh, man. What a way to start Fantasy Sports Today. On a Sunday, we got big news, George. It wasn't just your average cutdown day. We had some big news on a couple of fronts that will impact the NFL at large and certainly fantasy football players, and we're going to get to all of it as we can today. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with today's show. It's our last one for the year. I'm sure George and I will work together in some capacity at some point, but this is our last weekend show together for a while. I'm going to be kicking in with Sunday game day coverage. You're going to hear me a lot on Sunday mornings, 8 to 1, each and every Sunday. George is kicking in on Sunday afternoons and doing Saturday mornings now with Dan Strafford. So didn't mean to lay out the schedule, just letting you know this is our last show together for a while, and I'm excited about it, George, because there's obviously big news that happened yesterday.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend, right? Cut down day. I mean, baseball had the trade deadline, the waiver trade deadline, and then the 40-man roster call-up. So it's been an interesting weekend, but I guess we might as well start with the big news right away yesterday. A trade that really, although it was rumored, I don't think anyone truly expected to happen.
Well, clearly the Aaron Donald signing kicked everything into high gear as the Raiders moved on from Khalil Mack yesterday in a stunning move. There are not players like this available on the free agent market ever, and the Raiders decided to trade Khalil Mack, former defensive player of the year and a pass rushing monster. He agrees to a 6-year, $141 million with the Bears, $90 million guaranteed, $60 million guaranteed at signing. So it's a 6-year, $141 million deal, which is obviously put in motion because Aaron Donald signed on, I guess I'm losing track of the days, either signed late Thursday or Friday, and it kicked the trade talks into full gear because then teams knew what they had to pay Mack in addition to the draft picks.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I guess that's what it was. But yeah, when you look at the overall compensation, A, it's strange that you would trade a player like Khalil Mack anyway. And you think about it. What are NFL teams always crying for? The two positions they always want, a quarterback and a pass rusher. There's not really enough of either to go around. And yet you trade one of the premier pass rushers, and not only that, one of the top five defensive players in the NFL, and that maybe being maybe not being nice enough to Khalil Mack, maybe he's top three. And yet you trade him.
So, George, then, I'm going to get – I'll let you talk in a second. I'm not going to say it's strange. It is downright irresponsible for the Raiders to do this. You do not get guys like this and trade them. He's 27 years old. He'll be 28 next offseason. So he's about 27 and a half. So there's four positions where you pay guys: quarterback, pass rusher, corner, left tackle. And even left tackle is thought to maybe be, well, let's just pay a premier offensive lineman even if he's a guard. But it's one of the three or four premier positions. To your point, maybe top two. And they traded him.
It's not only that. The point I was going to make was you got your number one pick next year, but you're giving up a second. Mm-hmm. All right, Chicago, you've now made Chicago a better team. I'm not going to tell you they're
Absolutely.
A playoff team. The NFC is loaded. You know, for Chicago to break into one of those six playoff teams is not going to be easy. The six that I look at are the Eagles, the Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints, Los Angeles Rams. I had to make sure I got my Rams right. Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings. So to break into that is going to be tough to knock one of those teams out. All right, but let's say they're just on the outside and they don't break in. That means you're going to have around pick number 18. The Raiders are now one of the worst teams in the NFL. They might have been anyway, but now they certainly are. They're a top 10 bad team. So it means they're going to be picking that second round pick they're now giving up is going to be 38 overall. They're only moving down 20 spots. with that first round pick. So they've devalued the first round pick overall. It made, when you realize what they gave back, this trade even makes less sense to me.
I agree with you, and I'll lay out those particulars for everybody so they can follow along. So the Bears obviously signed Mack to the huge extension, but here are the particulars of the trade. Here's what the Bears got. Khalil Mack, a 2020 second round pick, which I would go a step further than George and say they're not bottom 10. They're worse than that. I don't think the Raiders had a good roster with Mack. The defense stunk with him, which is John Gruden's quote-unquote point that they didn't need him. Yeah, you do. You need to upgrade the other guys. You need him. Upgrade the other guys. And a 2020 conditional fifth. The Raiders get the 2019 first-round pick of the Bears, which, to George's point, let's put them – by the way, this completely changed my outlook of the Bears. I've been fading them all summer. I'm done. I know it took to the very end of the summer, but I can't fade them anymore. They just added one of the best players in the entire league, so I have to hold off on that. And we're going to do some over-unders today. We're going to have fun with that. So the Raiders got the 2019 first-round pick. Like George said, yeah, maybe they're an 8-8 team, so that's middle of the road of the round. Maybe it's, you know, it could be like that tough place to be, that 20th pick overall, George, you know, where you don't really want it because you're not sure that you're getting an elite guy and you didn't make the playoffs. It could be that kind of range for the Bears. They get the 2019 first, the 2020 first, which, if everything goes according to plan, the Bears are a playoff team by that time. And then the 2023rd pick and the 2026th pick. So they got four picks overall, but they gave back a second and a conditional fifth. I don't know the exact conditions on it, so I'd have to dive a little bit further into that. But the Bears are the clear winner for me. The Raiders could hit on both of those first-round picks and more, but you just don't give up players like this. That's my opinion. You have to work out a deal. You don't just stop talking to the guy. The Rams and the Giants provided the blueprint. Just keep talking to the guy. Keep working on it. Odell's agent walked away from the table about 6 weeks ago, and now they have a deal. The Rams, Donald was known to be really ticked off, but you know what? They kept talking to the guy, kept him in the mix. I'm not coming to training camp until I have a deal, but let's get a deal done. That's the tone that you want to set.
I don't know too many people who are defending the Raiders here, other than some fans. I think we all know they didn't even bother negotiating. I mean, we all heard they talked, that they hadn't talked in months. So it seems like Gruden really had no plans from the beginning to re-sign him. Just none. You know, I did have some speculation originally that maybe it was because of the Raiders couldn't afford it, didn't have the cash. But that can't be true. They just got this huge deal from Las Vegas. If anything, they got to be cash rich, not cash poor. So that doesn't really make any sense. It just comes down to probably what you all surmised in the beginning. They just didn't want him. It's one of those, we hear it in baseball more often, you know, back in the day, well, we can finish last with you or without you. So what's the point of paying you?
Yeah.
You know, which in some backwards way does make some sense, but I'd have less problem with this deal if you would have gotten what you originally wanted. The two number ones and a player is what they originally wanted. They got their two number ones, but like I said, they devalued at least the one number one by giving a second round pick back. And as you said, I was being kind by saying bottom 10. They could be bottom 5. And once again, now you're talking instead of a 20-round bump, you may have gotten a 15-round bump, maybe a 12. Oh, I mean, that's nothing. When you consider the overall, it doesn't make any sense to me. And if Chicago ends up being a much better team than expected, you may have gotten very little bump at all.
That's right.
So it just doesn't a lot of risk on the Raiders side for giving away one of the premier players. I'm also surprised that if other teams knew what it took to get Mac, there was more of a bidding war. You know, the teams realized that second-round pick was really going to, not kill you giving up your first-round pick by getting a second-round pick back, and how bad the Raiders are going to be, and how good, good your team could be. So I'm most surprised that maybe the team like the Green Bay Packers didn't get involved. Even the New England Patriots.
The Jets, too, could use a pass rusher, but they're in a little bit of a different position where they are building from the ground up. You obviously threw out a couple of teams that are on the precipice of trying to win, and Mac could push them over the hump. I guess I would say, so two things that you mentioned. I'm willing to explore the fact that the Raiders are cash poor, and they do have I think they have been over the last 3 years, they've been in the bottom three in revenue. And I think last year they were dead last in revenue. They have a bad stadium deal. There's a few other things that go into this. But to George's point, they do have a deal coming up with the with Vegas, and they're going to be there not for long. So if you have to mortgage a little bit of your present for the future, which is going to be an absolute windfall once you get to Vegas, then I don't understand why you wouldn't do that. I mean, none of these teams are broke. They get $255 million each in media revenue each season in this last annual return was $255 million per team. That obviously, that doesn't always apply directly to your salary cap, but it gives you an idea where you start. The salary cap is at like 179. Is that right, George? Number off the top of my head, I can't remember, but it's in that range. So your media is clearing that at least. Now they don't have an opportunity to make as much revenue from an operational standpoint as many of these other teams, which is why they're moving, right? But so that's part of it. Yeah, the bidding war, I'm not really sure. I think the Bears came hard with, we'll get you the two firsts. And then they did a nice job of negotiating the back end of that trade. And as you said, they got a little bit more return than probably other teams realized they might get.
Yeah, actually, I don't understand the Raiders getting back. I just don't. The fifth-round pick doesn't bother me. A sixth-round pick, whatever. Getting a second-round pick, it makes little sense to me. You know, it's almost like a snow, almost like they've been trying to trade for months, and it's the best deal they could get. You know, and that's not the case here. It seems like this thing happened quickly, and the Raiders just snapped off on it, rather than maybe negotiate around, let other teams know. If you're going to do that, you got to let other teams know, because then, like I said, the price is not really two first-rounders. It's not the same thing. And I think other teams might have gotten involved here. I hate this deal for the Raiders all around. Truly do. I can't see how this could – I mean, you mentioned it. They could hit on both number ones, or they could trade up and get the number one pass rusher next year. And, yes, if that works out and he's the same as Mac, great. You saved a lot of money.
Odds of that happening, you already had Mac.
Right. The odds of that happening are astronomical, that you're going to hit
totally
the right
agree.
Guy. He's going to be a Mac, and you're going to save all that money. You already had the bird in hand. You knew what Mac was.
That's right. That's exactly right. He's already in the building. Let's not move on from him. The Rams would never have gotten rid of Aaron Donald. Never. Never would have done it. It was difficult because they're capped out now, but they figured out a way to move around the money. I was away for the last couple of days, so I even have to dive into the particulars of the Donald trade a little bit more when I have an opportunity to find out exactly how they're able to get that done, because the Rams are right up against it on the cap. A couple of updates were made on mybookie.ag. We'll go through a whole bunch of over-unders, but the Raiders are now at 8 for regular season wins. The under, the juice is rising on the under at minus 155. I'd take it now while you can get it, because it's going to go lower. People are going to hammer the under now, and they should.
I don't know how it was at 8 to begin with. Even with Khalil Mack, I might have taken the under there.
I would have.
Right. This is without Mac now, you think about it. This was a bad defense last year. Now you don't have Mac. Now this defense is absolutely horrendous. I mean, who played this game with Scott Engel yesterday? Outside of the Bills and Dolphins, who's worse in the AFC? Hell, who's worse in football?
I don't think anybody. Tampa, I think, has an opportunity to be pretty bad, although their front seven is good on defense. I don't like the way things are going for Tampa at all. Some people would throw the Cardinals in there, but I think they're a little underrated, but people might throw the Cardinals in there. Luckily the Seahawks have Russell Wilson, but the rest of the cast of characters around him is not great.
I wouldn't put them in quite that bad. I don't think they'll be a 500 team, but they have issues as well.
Yeah.
Scott brought up the Indianapolis Colts. And he's got a point.
Yeah.
This could be a rough team. He brought up one other team, though, I'm trying to think.
How's their defense still so bad in Indianapolis? It's like 3 years we're saying they're one of the worst defenses. Can somebody draft someone?
Just three? Man, it seems like it's been longer than that.
Yeah. Like, can we just – I mean, they made the AFC Championship game with luck, and it's downhill from there. And their defense wasn't good then.
I think with the Colts, I'm just shocked they don't have more weapons for Andrew Luck. I mean, you think it's just T.Y. Hilton, oh, Jack Doyle, okay, and that's it. And there's really no one else to throw to for Lucky after that. That's my biggest surprise here is that they don't have more weapons. It seems like they can only concentrate on one thing at a time. They help the offensive line a little bit, and everything else went to pot.
Yeah. So I have a poll up, and I'm going to ask George this and give him the rest of the segment to answer it. Which guy would you rather have to build your team with, Derek Carr or Khalil Mack? They paid one. They traded the other. Who would you rather have?
You know, I'm not sold on Carr.
Same.
I'm not. I'm not sold that he's the a franchise quarterback. Yeah, you know, just I'm not. Listen, I'm a Cowboy fan. I'm not sold on Dak Prescott either. So when you think about that, and once again, we already know what Mack is. We already know he is an elite pass rusher. I think, you know, if I was starting from scratch, if I'm drafting a team from scratch, I'm going with Mack. I don't even think it's close. If I'm literally drafting. You know, like having an NFL draft, starting my own team, I can pick a player. I'm picking Mack because I know what I have there. I don't know what I have in Carr yet. But I have a funny feeling a lot of NFL people would probably go with the quarterback because you just can't win without one. But I'm not sold on Carr. I am really not. Even Fantasyland, what is he? He's outside of our top 20 in quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of people feel the same way. I would start with Mack.
Yeah, early returns on the poll, 74% in favor of Mack. The reality is I'm not sold on Derek Carr. They paid that guy early and locked him up long term to get a better deal on the market than they thought they might see. And I think they picked the wrong guy. That's just where I'm at. Khalil Mack is clearly a better place. Missed 44 snaps in his career. He's out there all the time, disrupting, making plays. The fact that the defense is bad last year, don't put it on the shoulders of your one guy. Come back. We'll talk more about this, Jerick McKinnon's injury, what that means for fantasy players, and a lot more on FST back after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
On FST, Mike and George, thanks for joining us on Fantasy Sports Radio. I hope you're listening on the app. It's free to download, free to listen. You can hear us on TuneIn, or you can hear us on iHeartRadio. Just search FNTSY on any of those apps to listen to us and a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you for listening. Hit us up on Twitter today at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And if you want to give us a call, we'll definitely take some draft questions today if you have them. 844-843-6879, 84-FNTSY. Call whenever you want. And before we get back to this Raiders talk and Niners talk, get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit. It's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So, yeah, we have the poll up, Mack versus Carr. I think we said all we needed to say. I really do think it's a colossal mistake. I didn't think the John Gruden hire was a good one. He's 10 years out of the league, 15 years since his last success, and now he couldn't talk. He couldn't even have a conversation with his best player. For those of people that thought he was a player's coach, I think that's an overrated reputation that he has, and I failed to see any evidence of it early in his Raiders tenure. So I think this is going the wrong way, but I think to some extent, and I don't think it's the right approach, He is trying to blow it up with Carr, the only man left standing.
It's hard to disagree with you. Right now, he is the only man left standing. I mean, really, who else is there? I had Amari Cooper.
Cooper.
You know, that's it. As far as top name players, you're going to know that your, I guess your average fan could name. Maybe Jordy Nelson, but he's not anywhere near the player he used to be. I mean, Cooper, Gruden, he does have the reputation of a player's coach, but he's also an old school coach. You know, you think about it, he hasn't coached in forever. And those coaches generally coach differently. They expect to be almost like you, whatever I say goes. You know, I rule, I'm king, and you follow me. And players nowadays really don't reply to that all that well. They don't. You know, they want more give and take here. Maybe this is Gruden's way of saying, hey, it's my way or the highway. I still don't get the fact that you didn't have any negotiations with them. It seems like you had one conversation 6 months ago. It didn't go well. That's it. Going to trade him. You know, he's not going
to. I don't know that Gruden ever talked to Mac, by the way.
Right. It's strange. It's just strange. How do you not? I have to think they had a conversation. I mean, I really. How can you just make up your mind without ever being there? You're trading this guy. It just doesn't make sense. Mac, as far as we know, is not a disruption. Doesn't have any locker room issues, right? This is not where I can understand Dez Bryant doesn't have a job. He does have that reputation. True or not, he has the reputation. Mac, once again, as far as we know, does not have that reputation. And obviously the Chicago Bears didn't care. You know, if he did, something just doesn't add up here. It really doesn't add up here. Is this Gruden's way of just letting everybody know that I'm king? And you trade away one of your best player. Not one of your best player. One of the best players in the NFL.
He's definitely your best player. Yeah. Right. He's the former defensive player of the year. He's got 40 and a half sacks in four seasons, 231 tackles. He missed 44 snaps. He's got almost more sacks than he has missed snaps on the whole. And it's we have a caller here in a minute, but their completion percentage without him on the field is nearly 78%. It's a small sample, but they don't get it done when he's not out there. And they're going to get scorched this year. There's some talent on the defense and on the offensive line and a few pieces on offense. I wouldn't say the roster is one of the worst, but it isn't great. And now they lost a wrecking ball.
I'll tell you, man, I think Scott Engel put it perfectly yesterday. When you're playing DFS this year, you're really going to want to pick on the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll just go through it quick. Amari Cooper, they got Colton Miller's the first-round pick. Obviously, Derek Carr is there. Marshawn Lynch is 35 years old. They have talent on the offensive line and two young guys that are actually bookending at tackle, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Even if those guys are talented, they're going to have some bumps in the road. So you got a rookie at left tackle and a rookie at right tackle. Good luck with that. Jordy Nelson, we'll see what happens there. Martavis Bryant was cut yesterday, so it's really Jordy Nelson, Amari Cooper, and Seth Roberts, same way as it's been as their third wide receiver, Martavis Bryant, apparently staring down a suspension as well. And we'll get into all the other cuts after this, but the Raiders thing is obviously massive news. It's as big a trade as you're going to see in the NFL, and one team was apparently wearing a mask during the negotiating process. As far as their defense is concerned, they have a bunch of other veteran guys. They signed Derek Johnson in the offseason. He was a great player, but best days are behind him. Bruce Irvin is still there. The rest of it, Tank Carradine, Mario Edwards, Justin Ellis. Tell me when you stop somebody that you're impressed with, George. Tahir Whitehead, Garyon Conley, first-round pick last year. Carl Joseph, I like him at safety. Rashawn Melvin and Marcus Gilchrist. I may take it back. That's not a good roster.
they were probably going to be a bad team either way. Now they're, maybe they want the number one pick overall. Maybe that was the goal here.
Yeah. Okay. So we've beaten the Raiders thing to death. We can talk about it a little bit later. We're going to do over unders for everybody, George and I. You'll hear our playoff predictions and that kind of stuff. So we'll get to the Niners, but we got a couple of calls here. It is Jason from Wisconsin.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hey, Jason. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Blewett. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for giving us a call. Badgers with a nice win the other night. I assume you're a Badgers fan.
Yeah, I think it was 37, though. They didn't cover, but I'm a Badgers fan. Yes, I am.
So there you go. So what do you got for us?
So, Mr. Kurtz, good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
It's been bothering you. You guys are just a pleasure to listen to, let me tell you. You guys together, I enjoy all of your personalities on the air. I'll tell you what, you know, you put you two together, and It is great. It is just wonderful. But okay.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yes, sir. I appreciate you guys. So I drafted a 10-team in our kind of inexperienced league. I won it last year. You got a couple new guys in it every year, and they don't know what you're doing. So I ended up getting David Johnson with the 10th pick, to give you an idea. We had another guy in the league draft, Bears fan draft, like Trubisky second, and Tariq Cohen third, and Jordan Howard first. So to give you an idea what kind of league it is. So
it's all right.
I can kind of play. I can play with the draft a little bit. As soon as he's going to come back around to me. So I have the 10th pick, the last pick. I took David Johnson, of course, and then I went and I grabbed Davante Adams, knowing that being in Wisconsin, he's not going to be there when it comes all the way around to me. Well, it's either Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, or Melvin Gordon. So, I did it kind of as a homer pick, but I'm believing, like you guys are also, that Davante Adams is going to score 15 touchdowns and have a wonderful year. But all year now, in the back of my mind, I'm going to be wondering, I'm going to keep an eye on Melvin Gordon and DeAndre Hopkins, comparing their numbers to, obviously, Davante Adams. What do you guys think about that? I kind of rolling the dice, right?
So, yeah, I'll give you my thoughts on it. So here's the good news. You got David Johnson at 10. So it mitigates the mistake that I think that you made in not drafting DeAndre Hopkins or Melvin Gordon. If I'm in that position, I probably take Hopkins because I just got a stud running back. You could lock up running back and potentially destroy the league by getting Gordon there. I would have felt most comfortable probably just getting Hopkins there because then I got my stud running back and a guy that actually has an opportunity to be the first time in a while that somebody could be better than Antonio Brown from a fantasy standpoint, because I think he's going to suck up so many targets. He led the league in targets last year. He's working with Watson for a full season. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball well, so it leads DeAndre Hopkins to suck up a lot of targets, red zone targets, and the like. But you're not in a bad position with Johnson and Adams. I just would have gone a different way with that second pick. George?
I mean, I love Adams. I think Adams is going to have a big year, but I would have taken Hopkins at 11 as well. I can't pass him up. I have a number 2 at wide receiver after Antonio Brown, but I have Davante Adams at number 6. So if you want to go to Adams, especially in this league, I'm not going to say you made a mistake. No, you can afford to really take some homer picks here. Guys are taking 3 straight Bears in rounds 1, 2, and 3. You're going to be just fine. You got a gift in David Johnson at number 10. And Davante Adams, like I said, I certainly would have taken Hopkins, but you're talking you didn't even – it's not like you went rounds ahead. You went picks ahead.
No.
So I'm okay with it in this kind of league.
One more quick thing. I also won the league last year, and I came in last year before, so I had the first pick. And I took David Johnson last year, and I still won the league with no first-round pick.
So there you go. And look, here's the thing.
Yeah.
So that's good. So and here's the thing, Jason. At the end of it you're doing this for fun. I assume this is not a high-stakes league. It sounds like it's fun with friends. And you're in Wisconsin, and you're rooting for the Packers every week and the Badgers on Saturday and the Pack on Sunday. It's okay to have a little bit of fun with it and get Davante Adams. He's going to be a great player this year. George and I both like him as a top 15 to 17 type of pick. You didn't go off script completely, like George just said. And at the end of the day, if you want to pick guys because you can root for them on Sunday, I think that's okay. Just don't destroy your draft over it. You didn't. We just would have gone with a different guy. So good stuff. Thanks for the call, Jason. We appreciate it. Talk to you soon. So there you go. I was in a league the other night, George, similar to what Jason just described. It's a league where there's no money on the line. I'm going to actually do it with my nephew, who's 10 years old and just getting into all this kind of stuff. And the first pick off the board, because it's a Pats fan, was Tom Brady. I picked second. I got Le'Veon Bell for the first time. I'm okay with people having fun with it, but in home leagues, you have to understand that weird stuff happens. Quarterbacks are flying off the board, and it's a 1QB league. So I adjusted my draft strategy slightly, but it's okay for people to have a little bit of fun with it. They shouldn't draft Tom Brady first overall, but it's okay at the end of the day.
It is. So what I always say, all right, fantasy is meant to be fun. You're meant to have a good time. Now, listen – another saying is we always separate fandom from fantasy. I'm a Cowboy fan. Doesn't mean I'm drafting, you know, Dak Prescott in round three. You know, you have to realize that if you want to win, then you really can't make moves like this. Jason's in a great spot. Not only did he get the hometown guy, but as I said, yeah, I had definitely taken Hopkins at 11. I mean, in my mind, I think he's probably the second best wide receiver. If you have Antonio Brown going six after the big name running backs, then Antonio Brown goes in that around number 8, 9, whatever it might be. And Hopkins goes shortly after that. You know, but Adams would go no more than 15, 16, 17, 18. So this is not a big deal for me. I think Jason sort of got the best of both worlds here. He got a great player anyway, and he got the hometown guy. So, you know, I'm fine with that. I'm truly fine with that. Plus, he's won the, as you said, he won the year before David Johnson, giving him zero. I think Jason will be fine here. It's more important than anything. Have fun. Enjoy your team. If you're going to hate your team because you didn't draft your guys, then draft your guys. You said, Mike, it's not a big money league. What are you worried about?
Yeah, especially in a league like that. Have some fun with it. So the QB shuffle kind of continued with trades and cuts. George, E.J. McCarron goes to the Raiders, who we spent the whole first segment plus talking about. So that obviously leaves the Bills in a position to start Nate Peterman and Josh Allen. No announcement there yet, though, to my knowledge.
Yay!
Who would you guess?
For me, Mike, it's simple. If Allen's ready, he plays. That's really all it is. That being said, I don't think he's going to play. Not start right away.
I don't think so either. I think it's Peterman.
Yeah. I think it's Peterman. And I think this sort of makes sense with Buffalo. As you and I have, I was going to say hint that we may have actually come out and said it. Buffalo's going to be a bad team this year.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're first. I mean, I keep looking for a spot. For all the rookie quarterbacks, I always look for the schedule. Okay, where's the perfect spot to start if you don't want to start from week one? All right, where's the bye week? Well, their bye week's in week 11, so that's not perfect. That's really deep into the season. I think they want to start him before that. Then you start looking for a cushion in the schedule. Where's the soft part of the schedule? Damn, Mike. They're at Baltimore, Chargers at home, at Minnesota, at Green Bay, Tennessee, Houston, at Houston. I guess the soft part would be Indianapolis in week 7, but even that is at Indianapolis, so it's not perfect. And then the next game is Monday night against New England.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it gets brutal here. I don't think there is a perfect spot for Allen. It's where I'm going with this. So in my mind, in that case, it's when you think he's ready. You know, when you think he's ready. If it happens to be week 4 at Green Bay, that's when he goes. You know, Peterman's not the answer. Right? We know that, though, right? Peterman's not the answer. He's not the answer long-term here. You know, you think Allen is. So as an organization, you need to do what's best for him. When you truly believe that he's ready, it's time. You know, we got to put him in there because I want to get him as much experience this year as I can, whether that be 4 games, 8 games, 12 games, whatever it might be. So I expect Peterman to start, take his lumps, and I think the earliest we'll see him is that Green Bay game because I know it's at Green Bay, it's at Lambeau, and that sucks. But it's not a good defense. It's not the Minnesota Vikings, Chargers, and the Ravens of the first 3 weeks. And then you get Titans and Texans after that, and those are two good defenses as well, but except there is no perfect spot in the schedule.
Agreed. I think the Bills, look, for people hammering the Bills, I think they are making an effort and know that they were going to take a step back in order to move forward. I was somewhat impressed the fact that they made the playoffs last year, George, because the team wasn't that great, but they fought through it with odd quarterback decisions and everything else to make the playoffs. Took a miracle from the Bengals, but they made it. So they get to end the schneid and all that kind of stuff. But I think they are going to take a step back. I do think it's larger than they wanted to, and they're going to take some serious lumps here. The reality is Peterman could play just fine, and they'll still be 0-4, 0-5, 0-6. Do you know what I mean? It won't be on him. They're facing a tough schedule, and I think if Nate Peterman, even if he plays relatively well, they could still be losing all these games.
Oh, I think you're right. I mean, I think asking Nate Peterman to play relatively well is probably tough. But, yeah, you look at the schedule, I don't know where their win's coming from. I mean, they do play the Jets twice. They play Miami twice at Indy. So that, even on the road, that's not going to be easy with Andrew Luck back. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, I mean, they play the Chicago Bears, they played. Jacksonville Jaguars, they play. Man, they play a lot of top defenses this year. Schedule maker was not kind to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears thought Trubisky was ready after a few games. The Niners, I could see this going a Niners route, that they're just like, Nate, just go out there. Like, I don't want to put Josh out there. Offensive line stinks. You got three guys that they lost three guys from last year's offensive line. Josh is going to get killed, so you're going to take the lumps until the bye week, and we'll put Josh in after week 12. Not a conversation you would probably have that bluntly, but I think that maybe from a strategy standpoint, wait till you know, some teams start falling out of it before you get Josh Allen in there. So we'll come back. We will talk the Niners thing with McKinnon, Matt Breida, Alfred Morris now rising up in your ADPs. We'll talk about that and more right after the break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back on FST, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. You have the chance to win big this year along SportsGrid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won two separate million-dollar prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week, no worries. Your name gets tossed back into the hat the following week. So head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in action. That's dailyroto.com/sweat, S-W-E-A-T. I always wonder if there's people out there that don't know what that term means, George, the sweat. I mean, fantasy players, gamblers are going to know what it means, bettors, gamblers, whatever phrase you'd like to use. But the sweat is the, you know, the white knuckling of your wagers. You trying to make sure that somebody gets across the goal line to win your fantasy match to make sure that the Raiders go under on the season, which I'm going to hammer away at in the next 3 days. But yeah, that's what the sweat is. You know, it's sometimes it's a collective one. Sometimes you're just standing by yourself in your living room late at night, hoping the Cardinals make a field goal. I'm not saying that that was me, but it could be me.
I'm sure. Listen, we all hear the, I don't want to say the funny things, but people, who lose because on those, you know, those last plays in the game, NFL game, where they just, you know, hey, we're gonna do the California band, the Stanford band thing. We're gonna throw the ball, but hope we got, you know, do 9,000 laterals. Mm-hmm. Oh, but then the defense intercepts it and they runs it back, and then you know that cost a lot of people money because they lost either an over under or they lost a spread. It reminds me of actually what Jason said. You mentioned the Wisconsin Badgers. They won by 37, didn't cover the spread. It reminds me of Warner Wolf. You know, you and I live in the New York area. And if you know, if you had the Badgers in 36, you lost. You know, that's right. Sort of thing. So always, it just always brings me back to that. I like it. I know people don't realize it. I think as far as betting is concerned, if that's what you like to make the games more interesting, fine. That's what fantasy really was about. When I started playing fantasy, Mike, back in the late 80s. Now, it was a friend of mine who actually thought of it, not me. People think, oh, it must have been you. No, he brought the idea. I ran with the idea, but he brought the idea to me. But the reason we did it, he was a Jets fan. I'm a Cowboy fan. Late 80s. All right? Jets was bad, and the Cowboys were bad. This was after, right after Tom Landry, or it might have been the end of Tom Landry's his career with the Cowboys. And except the Cowboys were terrible. Jimmy Johnson was just there. They were going 3-13, 1-15. So we sort of wanted a reason because we were both huge football fans, and we wanted a reason to make the games more interesting. That we'd watch all the games, you know. And he came up with this idea, ran with it, got a bunch of our friends, started our first fantasy league, a league that's still drafting today, you know, 30 years later. So like I said, I get it, I understand. You know, I place bets as well. I enjoy betting on some games. As far as football is concerned, it's more standalone games than anything else that I like. So, Sunday of football is just too much going on. I don't have the time to really delve into it with everything we have to do on Sunday mornings. I'm lucky I can set my fantasy rosters on Sunday mornings more or less put a bet in. So I don't have an issue with it. You know, and sweating, It's probably what drives us most crazy because you're about white knuckling, getting all nervous. We all want to win easy, right? You all want to bet the over, and the over comes through in the first half.
It's never easy.
And you get to relax the second half. Right? We all want that. That's probably why we all bet overs more than unders, by the way. Because when you think about it, an over, you know when you're locked. It's over. And under, you always have to worry.
That's right. That's right. A couple of teams that sweat this weekend in college football. By the way, a good friend of mine, Robin, is listening. She listens to us all the time down in Tampa. And her husband, Sean, and their little guy, Sean. She is a huge Michigan State Spartans fan. I might say her fandom is slightly obnoxious, but I love her, love the family, and I think it's all in good fun. But that being said, they almost lost to Utah State, and that was a real sweat. Last night, Penn State against Appalachian State, that was a real sweat. App State trying to kick a field goal to win it, a 56-yarder to win it at the end of regulation. They missed it, and then Penn State won in overtime. But a couple of, you know, a couple of big-time college teams that had a serious sweat over the weekend. So, so there we go. We're on to the Niners, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of these other cuts. I guess just quick notes, Braxton Miller, former third-round pick of the Texans, his experiment of moving from college quarterback to wide receiver is over in Houston. Breshad Perriman, a pick that I frankly never really liked, that experiment is over in Baltimore after 15, 16, 17, after three seasons. He won't make it to a fourth. The Steelers cut Landry Jones as their backup, where they clearly have a quarterback of the future in Mason Rudolph. They were trying to move on from Josh Dobbs. I think once that didn't happen, they decided to keep the two younger players and move on from Jones. Your guy, Dan Bailey, second most accurate field goal kicker in NFL history behind only Justin Tucker. He gets cut. They go with a completely inexperienced kicker. It's a weird move, but they saved $3.5 million on it, George.
It is a weird move. The question for me is, I don't know if it was really the money savings. Cowboys run up really dead against the cap when they were desperate to do this, unless there's another move coming. I wonder, A, if Dan Bailey's healthy. You know, I also wonder, you know, with the new guy, he kicked the 57-yard field goal on Thursday, and Bailey can kick them that far as well. I think Bailey's been a little inconsistent as far as putting the ball into the end zone, and I think that could have been a worry. And then I don't like this move, mind you, because if the Cowboys are going to be successful this season, and I don't think they will be, by the way. I just think they're one offensive line injury away from oblivion. One more offensive line injury away from oblivion, I should say. All right, but if they are going to win, Mike, they're going to be a lot of close games. Those field goals are going to be important. I mean, Mayer in the Canadian Football League was 78%. You know, I mean, Dale Bailey, you mentioned, second most accurate in NFL history. It's a huge gamble by the Cowboys, assuming he's healthy, which by all reports are he is. I don't think this made a lot of sense. Not unless, like I said, there's another move coming where you needed that $3.5 million. And from everything we've seen, there's not. Earl Thomas is not being dealt because that's what a lot of people speculated. Okay, they needed cap room from Earl Thomas. In which case, I could have understood that. Well, we've all heard Seattle and Earl are playing a game of chicken. Who's going to blink first? So if that's not happening, I don't understand this move. I think this could cost the Cowboys a game or two as Mayer misses a field goal that Bailey probably would have hit.
Kind of crazy. Yeah, so Brett Maher is the guy that's coming in, 28-year-old. He's undrafted out of Nebraska in 2013, CFL for the past four seasons, making 78% of his attempts. Bailey did have a little bit of an injury issue last year and was far less accurate after he came back from the injury. I think he dropped to like 75% of his remaining field goals on the season and missed two extra points, first two that he ever missed in his career, both last year. So, I mean, I would think he could get out of that funk, which was, you know, a few games long. But I'm with you. I don't like messing around with guys that I know have had success for a long time in the NFL to go with a completely unproven guy and hope, like, hopefully he nails a couple of these game winners at the end of games. Or we could go from 6-10 to, you know, rather 9-7 to 6-10. The Chargers missed the playoffs because of this kind of stuff last year, where they made a very similar decision. They went with a completely unproven rookie kicker. They missed a couple of kicks and they missed the playoffs. I mean, the Chargers missed the playoffs because of, you can connect the dots any which way you want, but if the kicking situation was settled on the Chargers from Jump Street last year, they would have made the playoffs.
Oh, you're right. There's no arguing that. I don't think there's anything about connecting the dots. They did miss the playoffs because they didn't have a kicker. or a good one, I should say. And listen, I don't think the Cowboys make the playoffs anyway. Once again, NFC, who's knocking off those six, those top six teams? And I don't think Dallas is number seven out of that. So I don't think it really matters there. But I think it's going to cost them a win or two. I do. Once again, I think Dallas is going to play a lot of close games. If they're going to win, they're going to be close games. They're not going to blow people out with that offense. You know, they're just not. So I said, I don't understand this move unless there's something else coming or he's not over that groin. And that's what he injured last year. And all reports are he's over it. He's fine. He's had a good camp. So this is surprising to me. We'll never know the truth from Dallas because they'll just tell us whatever they want to tell us. But I'd like to know the reasoning behind it. Is it the money? Is it because of the kickoffs? Is there something else coming? You know, I'd like to know why this move, why they felt they needed to make this move.
Yeah, the Chargers used four kickers last year. Young Ho Koo was the guy they went with out of the gate, and he went 3 of 6 on field goals. They had Nick Rose in there for a couple of games. He went 1 of 3. Nick Novak was the veteran that ultimately came in, and he hit 70% of his field goals. Travis Coons came in, hit 87% of his field goals. Like, these four kickers at a rate of, let's see the ultimate rate there. Yeah, 66% on field goal percentage. It's not going to get – or the team. Yeah, 66% on the year. That's not going to get it done, George.
No, it's not very good. Not very good in school, not very good
for
a field goal kicker either.
This is worse than I thought. An NFL team hitting 66% of their field goals? It's a disaster.
And it was, like as you said, cost them a playoff spot. You know,
God, it's way worse than I thought. I didn't expect to see a horrendous number like that. Anyway.
Listen, things may not get much better for them this year. They released Roberto Aguayo, which is not a shock. That guy is part of the problem as far as field goal kicking, and they keep Caleb Sturgis. You know, not like they solidified it all that much. Are they going to be a team that gives Dan Bailey a workout?
That's a great question. We don't spend a lot of time on kickers, but look, Dan Bailey's a longtime veteran kicker. He's the type of guy that, like, at the end of my drafts in that round, I'm like, I'm going to take Bailey because he's accurate. He's indoors, and I'm just going to go with Bailey. He's usually one of the first guys I select. He's not there anymore, so I'm definitely not taking a rookie kicker. So we'll see what happens there. So the big note, the thing we should do before we get out of the first hour is Jerick McKinnon. Serious injury, ACL injury. You and I were out on McKinnon during draft season, but that's not to say that he didn't have value as a starting running back in a Kyle Shanahan system. You're always going to have, frankly, a lot of value. We just didn't like where he was being taken, ADPs. He's now out of the mix, unfortunately. A torn ACL right after a big payday is his first shot, really, to be a star back in the league, and he's not going to get that opportunity. So on that roster is Alfred Morris and Matt Breida. I've liked getting Matt Breida late in drafts as a complement to Jerick McKinnon. I think the difficult part is that now Alfred Morris probably slots into the main back, and Breida remains, while he's banged up especially, Breida remains a complementary back, the Tevin Coleman in this offense, if that makes sense. Right, George?
That's the way I read it as well. That Breida's role really doesn't change all that much. He's going to do what he was going to do anyway, and Morris is now more than the lead back there. It's difficult for fantasy owners because, I mean, Morris... Yeah, if you extrapolate his numbers from last year when he's played, they're actually very good season-long. Can he do it season-long as anyone else's guess here? I mean, you almost want both guys because as much as I think Breida's role stays the same, it'll be slightly bigger because I think he'll get more touches now because they're not going to give Morris every touch that McKinnon would have gotten. I don't know if he could last that long. He's an older back. So where do you draft? If you're drafting today, drafting tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it might be before the season starts, where do you draft Morris now? Where do you draft Breida? They're both draftable now in a 12-team league. You know, you're going to take them both. Can you wait till double-digit rounds? I doubt it. Starting running back,
Morris is going to
go earlier than that. I think you're probably going to go round 8, round 7. You know, someone's going to take a chance on that. So it becomes very tricky now. What's even trickier, Mike, and you know, I brought this up with Scott Engel regarding Adrian Peterson yesterday. We didn't know about the Jerick McKinnon injury before we went off air. It happened right at pretty much 4 o'clock Eastern. So Fab, in a lot of leagues, is going to run this week for the first time.
Yeah.
You think about it. Generally, Fab doesn't run immediately after the draft. It runs right before week 1. How much are you spending on Adrian Peterson? How much are you going to spend on Alfred Morris. Matt Breida is probably drafted anyway, but he could be out there as well. How much do you spend on these guys, assuming you need a running back? For me, you know, I should be, I'm like tickled pink. I didn't have McKinnon in any league. And I'm talking any league. Best ball, my redraft leagues, none. I wasn't buying in on him where he was going in the third round, second round in some leagues. Wasn't buying in on him at all. So I finally got away with an injury where it's not, it doesn't affect any of my teams. But Darius Geis killed me. I think I did the math last night. I'm playing in between best ball and over leagues. I'm playing in about 20 leagues. I had Darius Geis in 75% of them. Oh, I banked on
George,
Geis. So it's
why,
a killer.
Why did you not diversify more than that?
Because he was there in the fourth round in all these leagues.
Yeah.
And I couldn't pass him up, and I love the guy. It's killing me. And then Scott Fishbowl, I think we have 20 roster spots. Five of my players were already gone. I'm already done with Scott Fishbowl. It's
five.
I just keep laughing. Five. Five have either been gone for the season with injury or released. I mean, some of them were lower-level players you don't care about. But still it's
that's
like,
incredible.
Damn. I got a quarter
of
my roster.
Of your roster.
Right. That just sucks. So,
Matt Breida was the 51st running back being taken in drafts throughout the month of August. I cut it off August there because I don't want what happened yesterday to impact the ADPs I'm talking about. I have Matt Breida in at least one and I think two leagues. I have to do all my roster telling basically today, tomorrow, to make sure I know who I have on what. I've had four drafts in the last like 12 days and I have another one today. So I need to kind of get on top of that. But Breida was draftable, but to George's point, he might be out there. Let's say you have $100. We'll make the number easy. $100 fab budget. Say you lost one of those guys, McKinnon or Geis. You drafted a few weeks ago. Now the fab is just opening up. Give me your numbers. What percentage of your fab are you going to put on these guys? And put them in order. Breida, Peterson, and Morris.
I think the order you want is probably, I'm going to go, Peterson and Morris are pretty much neck and neck. I'll go Peterson, Morris, Breida, because I think Peterson and Morris will be your touchdown guys. So those guys have more value than Breida. I think to win it, you're probably going to have to bet 20% of your fab, you know, at least. So I think you're watching $20, $200. And you're right, you might not need to go more. There could be somebody. The Darius Geis is going to be the one you have to worry about. And the McKinnon owner. Because they're going to be short running back now. You need to look at their team. All right, how bad are they at running back? Can they survive? If they can, then maybe they don't go high. Maybe they don't believe. I've seen some leagues, I think someone posted yesterday, where they were laughing at the guy. And this is surprising to me. Because somebody won Morris in their league. I guess, or maybe it was Peterson. I don't know who it was, but which guy. But they won the player for $21, and the next bid was $1. And I find that strange. Because this, you tell me, no one's bidding on a starting running back, Peterson, Morris? That doesn't make any sense to me. You know. So if you think you're going to win these guys bidding, right, you think you're going to win your league bidding $5. I mean, the leagues I'm talking about are industry leagues, so I know people aren't going to be sleeping at the wheel. I think you're going to have to bid at least 20%, so it's at least $20, at least $200 in the $1,000 fab. And you're probably right, you may need to go to 30 to assure yourself of a win. And that's annoying to have to go that high this quickly.
Yeah, and I think a Geis owner or a McKinnon owner might come in over the top. We're just telling you to just try and bid smart. Yeah, you'll win it. If you go $75, you'll get Alfred Morris. Do you want to blow all your fab budget on an Alfred Morris? I actually like him as much as Peterson because of the offense that he's in. Maybe a little bit more, actually. But that's why I was backing up in many instances with Matt Breida, even though I didn't have McKinnon. So we'll come back. Hour number two, we'll do some over-unders. It's Mike and George on FST, back after this.